KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at robotsattackme, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
That's right. Yay. If you're unfamiliar with our show, because we are on a new day and time, and you're like, who the heck are these guys? Well, like I said, we are the one and only geek-centric talk show. We bring you geek news, geek culture, all that sort of jazz, and we do play music here and there as well. But we are a talk show, so hopefully that won't be too crazy for you, the talking.
Right. Yeah.
No. So get ready to learn.
You're going to learn here on our show. At least that's what we try and do anyway. But have you gents been?
Been pretty good. Working, enjoying that. The app that we're developed for is got some upgrades over the week. So it's like tests that were failing before are now succeeding, so it's nice.
Nice, nice. Success is good.
Yes. Other than that, another big major thing is preparing for Kid Fest at our church, which is a kids event for next week, which is starting actually this week on Tuesday. So it's the mad dash to the end, but it's coming along really nicely.
Is this where you... randomly like beat children and stuff and put them in cages and like make them run obstacle courses for people's amusement and betting purposes?
No,
that's the early 90s show Double Dare.
Yes. Gotcha.
But a very good guess. No, this is a little bit more laid back, but it's still a fun time for all.
Okay. And, for those out there who are like, oh, the children beating is not funny. I know. It was just a joke.
Right. Yes. We're very disappointed in you right now. I am glaring.
So, speaking of the non-glaring, how about you, Jason? How have you been?
I went on a working vacation.
That's a whole bunch
of fun right there.
Yeah.
And I was acquainted with why I'm never going to smoke my entire life. Because I was cleaning up a smoker's apartment and, I don't want any of that stuff in my lungs. However, interesting fact, smoking will oddly preserve all of the metal products in your house.
They
won't rust.
A nice thick layer of soot over everything protects them against rust.
Ooh, oily soot.
Oh.
Yes.
So
even better.
So after you'd possibly contracted cancer and possibly died, at least you'll know.
Right. You'll have something to pass on to the next people.
Exactly. Our new audience is like, good God, they're joking about children beating and now about cancer. I don't know about this show.
I
swear.
Relax.
That's the creme de la creme, but I don't.
It gets better. Just relax.
It's okay.
Just wait. We're going to trifecta this.
Yeah. We definitely have to get used to our new time and day. And maybe we'll even, since we're kind of sort of, the tail end of like that traffic time, maybe we'll figure in some traffic reports.
Yeah, maybe.
In the show. We'll see.
Yeah, we are over the 17 interchange, and you can see it's bumper to bumper.
Caleb will just practice his
or something.
You'll have to figure out some sort of
robot holding up traffic.
Yeah. Have to figure out some sort of. Like,
looks like Johnny Five is trying to make a break across the 101 interstate.
I-13.
Either. Yeah. Watch for it, folks. He still has his laser attached.
Nice. Speaking of lasers, well, I don't really know why. Crap. I don't really have a second.
From there to there. That's how it goes.
Yes.
What's new with you?
Let's see. I saw Man of Steel, which we'll talk about more when we do, at the end of the month, our wrap-up of June movies.
Sounds good.
Let's see. I finally beat Bastion.
The Child?
Yeah. Just beat him. See, it's full circle.
I like connecting things up.
Yeah. He do it well. That's the exciting stuff.
Yeah, Bastion isn't really a child. It's a place anyway.
Yeah.
It's a misnomer. People see a picture of a kid and they think, oh, well, that must be Bastion. No, sir.
It's not.
It is not.
What? There you go.
So, yeah, that's that. But I say now we move on to the new releases of the week. Why is this weird?
Good.
Like, it's still got to get used to, like, that it's Monday. Because normally our show is Thursday, so it's like, all right, the weekend's coming up. Now it's like, Monday, it's the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm totally thankful we actually got a time slot, because I heard a lot of people were fighting for this time frame, like, during the week. So I'm very thankful that we have it, and hopefully you out there will be thankful of our entertainment.
Yeah, right. We're good stuff.
Thank goodness for seniority.
But anyway, what we like to do usually to wrap up our, what's going on with us is we do the new releases. And I like to start it off with what's coming out in the theater. So you got plenty of time now to plan ahead. So you might want to get ready for Monsters University. That's dropping this Friday. There's also a film called Alien Uprising. It's not rated, so there's that. We also have Maniac, also not rated and starring Elijah Wood.
There you go.
We've got Rush Lights. That one actually is rated. Wanted to give the fair share to
the rated
others.
Ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably the other big film dropping this week, World War Z.
Okay. That was this week. Okay. Yeah. People were asking me, and I had no clue.
Yeah.
Normally, I'm the go-to guy.
So there you have the movies coming to theater, as well as others, but those are just the sampling.
Yeah. All right. From there, if those films don't thrill you, perhaps you want to enlarge your DVD collection with Alien Uprising, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. Or perhaps Knight Riders, Knights on Motorcycles.
Huh.
Blu-ray. Kind of awesome, right? Right? Or
I'm intrigued. In the Mouth of
Madness. Or perhaps The Meaning of Life, classic Monty Python film.
Yes.
There's also a 75th anniversary of The Wizard of Oz. Which is...
No wafers in that one.
What?
No wafers in that
one. No, there is no wafers in that one.
Interesting. Yeah, because last week the Oz Great and Powerful dropped. So they're like, together, check out this one. Then you can see that, the prequel to this. And wasn't
bing, bang, boom.
There you go.
There you go. Let's see. I'm going to round it out with... not that one. we'll just mention that this Prince of Darkness came out, Collector's Edition on Blu-ray. Something better than that. Let's see. Ooh, Voyage of the Damned, no. WWE Super Slam, Jetstream, yeah, sure, why not?
So you're ending on that one, or?
Yeah, let's just end there. Otherwise, it starts getting silly.
All right, well, from there, we go to the video games. We've got new Super Luigi U. So
nice.
Something for the Wii U for you.
Cool.
We've got Mag Runner Dark Pulse. We've got Dungeons & Dragons Chronicles of Mystara. We've got a Jak and Daxter collection for the PS Vita. We've got...
Fun. Tempting.
Knights of Pen and Paper. Death Goat.
Goat of Death.
Polygon Storm. And I'll round it out with Guiana Sisters' Twisted Dreams.
All righty. Yeah. From games to comics, we got Baltimore, the Inquisitor. And that's a man named Baltimore, not the city of Baltimore. it's from Mike Mignola and Christopher Golden's, part of their the BPRD line of history. A new 100 Bullets, Brother Alano, number one. Batman and Batgirl, forgive me, number 21. X-Files Season 10, number one. Yep. Invincible 103. Age of Ultron, number 10.
Ooh.
Avengers, number 14. Hmm. And we're going to round out with Liberator, number one. Black Mass Comics.
Nice.
That's cool.
So there's just a sampling of some of the new releases coming this week, so you can plan ahead if you so desire.
Yep. You still time to put in a pull request at your comic book store, probably.
Yeah. See, now that it's Monday since Thursday when we did it before, couldn't do that
because
it already happened and stuff. So,
it's weird.
Now we're giving you heads up and stuff, so that's always good. Mm-hmm. Anyway, speaking of things that are good, we got a great show for you today. I can't wait to get into our core topic later on in the show. We're going to be discussing E3. Now,
woohoo.
I know a lot of people are probably maybe E3 overloaded, but we haven't had our chance to talk about it. And we're going to try, we're going to hit stuff, but we're also going to try and clarify things because I think there's been a lot of misinformation.
Just a little bit.
So hopefully we can try to clear things up for you and do some justice and some good PR or something for whatever.
It's a good reminder that just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's real.
Exactly. And we're not going to have a game discussion because E3 is going to take up that portion that we normally do. But
there will probably be some games in
there. Yeah. I'm sure we'll hit some games in that sort of game discussion section anyway.
What?
But But we will have, Caleb's Corner.
Yeah. It's actually going to be about an event that happened at E3.
Okay, so there you go.
It's all tied together.
And before...
Bing, bang, boom.
Exactly. Circular.
Mm.
Just like Jason mentioned earlier.
It's like a theme, perhaps.
Exactly. And before all of that, we're going to bring you some news. Would you like to tease the folks with some news before we get to our music break?
A little bit of news. Netflix seems to have landed a nice, fat deal.
Ooh.
That's pretty cool.
Nice.
Well, I'm going to try and sell you a helicopter.
Oh, man.
Great. Perhaps word that slightly differently?
Okay.
Sell us on a helicopter? How about that?
No, it's... Okay. You'll understand how it becomes more geeky later because it is loosely associated with the Airwolf helicopter.
Okay. All right. I'm with you.
So should I find the Airwolf theme song?
That would be really cool.
That would be kind of awesome.
Okay.
Or just hum it.
I don't think I remember it. All right, so stick around for that. We're going to take a quick music break and come back with more Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
News.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. Before we get to the news, let me read you this quick little PSA that might help you. You want to listen to KCU even when you're not near radio? You can stream us whenever you want at KCU.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website and never be without the Underground Sound. All right, gentlemen, hit them with the news.
Okay. There's a... television show from long ago and far away that was called Airwolf. It was fairly geeky and had a bunch of kind of cheesy elements, like reusing the same thing for practically every application, for like shooting down missiles, for protecting itself from missiles, from blowing up cars and whatnot. Basically a wonder weapon attached to a little swivel thing at the bottom of a helicopter. But
you want me to hit the Airwolf theme?
Go for it. Yeah. Just in case anybody's really wanted to hear this. And
well, for continue, you know, talking while I...
Definitely.
Anyway, so the same company that actually made the helicopter that they used for that, Eurocopter, they've been making pretty cool-looking helicopters for a long time. They've been doing... love that sound of the song. Anyway, so they've been making
Starburst
about right about half of the Coast Guard helicopters that you see in all of the different reality shows that have people being saved and whatnot. Well, they're also pushing the envelope as far as making the fastest helicopter ever. They've been trying to do this for a long time, and they finally made one that broke the 300 miles per hour barrier.
Whoa.
Now, the way that they did this was kind of interesting. It has a normal rotor on top with five blades on it, but it also has two propellers hanging off the sides of it, like on big booms, sort of.
Huh.
So it ends up being sort of like a prop plane and a helicopter combination, but it still looks very much like the classic Airwolf helicopter. So I just thought it was really cool seeing Airwolf kind of come back to life again, because normally I see it all rigged up with all of the stuff for saving lives instead of just outright looking cool and breaking barriers and whatnot. But anyway.
There you go.
That's my bit.
Nice.
That's my Airwolf bit. Oh, by the way, it's the Eurocopter EC-155X3.
Very cool.
Nice.
Alrighty, well, from classic television show helicopters to more TV coming, original TV coming to you from Netflix.
Boo.
They just signed
Wait,
a
that's good, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They just signed a deal with DreamWorks Animation to increase to a multi-year exclusive of over 300 hours of programming from DreamWorks Animation starting in 2014. The deal is global, which means covering all of the territories that Netflix exists in, which is good news for the international, for people to be outside the United States who have occasionally had a less than stellar selection of material from Netflix, because they have to negotiate those same deals all individually by country, so it's kind of a challenge. So this is really cool that
we feel for you, neglected countries.
That they're actually going to be able to give them first run stuff and new stuff like globally. That's kind of cool. It's going to start with this deal also includes their feature animations, including The Croods, Turbo, and Peabody and Sherman, which I'm assuming is going to be a takeoff of the old Bullwinkle segment.
Huh.
So there you go. They're going to be like the destination source. Like there's nobody else, no other networks involved with creating this content besides the content producer, DreamWorks, and Netflix. So it's a nice direct deal right there. So that's kind of cool.
Hmm.
Cool. Well, from helicopters, Netflix, entertainment to Arnold Schwarzenegger joins the Expendables 3. I know it's not a huge shock probably for everyone, but a few days ago we heard from, I snagged this article from IGN, and speaking of all the stories that we do, we post the links to them on our Facebook page, so you can go and check them out for yourself if you don't have the opportunity right at the moment. You know, maybe you're driving. We are on the radio, so, you know. But anyway, Arnold, he's filming on Terminator 5. That's right. He's going to expect to begin. And now the actor has confirmed that he'll be starring in Expendables 3 along with Sylvester Stallone.
Huh.
Huge shock there.
Wait, Sylvester Stallone's going to be in the Expendables?
He's going to reportedly start shooting the action sequel in August in Los Angeles. According to the Arnold fans, this is probably why Stallone and Schwarzenegger's escape plan was pushed back from a September release to October. If you're not familiar with that film, it's like them in a prison, like trying to figure out how to break out or something like that. Some sort of prison break movie or something. But
there you go.
But yeah. Let's see. They'll have a few weeks to shoot Expendables before, you know, they start promotion on that other one. And they get this. Jackie Chan and Nicolas Cage are going to also be in Expendables 3,
ooh,
which will be opening in August of next year.
Please make Nicolas Cage the bad guy.
See, this is what I wanted too. I wanted them to bring back Jean-Claude Van Damme to be in it, but as his twin brother of that guy,
but
a good guy this time.
That would be cool.
Because he's been in like a number of movies where he's like a twin or a set of three.
That's
right.
I would love, that would be so awesome. They could totally pull that off. Like, he's his twin. And go back and look at all of his other twin movies.
Yeah.
Or Time Cop, for that matter.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Well, if you've ever been really, really desperate to lose an SD card, I think I found the perfect way for you to do it. CCS Spy Gear just created a nickel that has a secret break-apart point, so you can hide an SD card in it. And then promptly lose it.
Yeah. Into the couch, into a soda machine by accident.
Right. Parking meter.
Yeah. Oh, no. Vending machine.
Right.
I needed that.
I mean, hopefully it will spit it right back out again and you'll be angry for a moment until you figure out what you've done.
Yeah. Why won't this take... Oh, right.
If it's too convincing for the machine, then it might be a problem. But it's extremely convincing as far as a photograph. So I will post this, take a look at it. It's pretty neat looking and kind of silly.
Sounds like. Alrighty, so in the past I have mentioned the success stories that have come out of Kickstarter. Well, and unfortunately, not everything is roses when you run a Kickstarter. And
what? Sometimes it's daisies.
Sometimes.
As in pushing them up.
Oh, see what you did there. See what you did there.
I probably saw that one from a mile away. But...
Yeah. The
yeah.
The game called Glory to Rome fell upon some rather... tenuous times in terms of their Kickstarter was successful.
It did as the Romans did.
Sort of. Actually, probably pretty close to. Anyways, you wanted to resurrect an old card game, and $21,000 would have done it. He got 73, which was good. The problem started happening when his head of operations, who also spoke Chinese and was dealing with the manufacturers, quit.
Oh.
And then somewhere along the way, a bit of a documentation did not say no step or no weight on these pallets. And so a whole bunch of them got crushed by stacking other pallets on top of them. And then he also had a bunch of international shipping locations like Brazil and Australia, which isn't in and of itself not so bad. But
no, that's horrible.
Because he was, got so much extra, he was able to see, free shipping for everybody. Well, that came back to severely bite him in the backside when he had to ship all these to these rather expensive international locations.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. There's so many little things that you forget about, that you don't factor into the Kickstarter goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you just don't think about it or forget about it. Just all those little things that will just add up. And you're like, oh, wow. We got enough, but it just ate all of our money.
Yeah.
Now we have nothing we need.
We owe people.
Yeah.
We need another Kickstarter to pay for the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
This time we swear we'll do it right, guys.
Yeah, but this is why it's important to not, think that just because it's on there, it's going to be the greatest thing ever. Just, you know, it's gonna, it could be very cool, but just be aware that it's still an, you're still investing in somebody. It's a, there's a chance that it could go belly up. As they say on Mythbusters, failure is always a possibility.
That's true. Or will they find, try and find the myth of failure busting?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
I don't even know what that means. But anyway, before I get to my next story, I'm going to read you a fancy little PSA here.
It better be fancy. I'm holding my pinky up.
Well, it is. It's the San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes? But
I'm a fancy animal lover.
Nice. But you have limited time to volunteer? Well, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right. From the San Jose Animal Advocates to a bear story.
Hey.
It's been a while, but I found one. Thought I'd do it again.
Nice.
This one.
Nice.
From NBC News. Bear with head stuck in jar is rescued in Pennsylvania. Jameson City, Pennsylvania. Four central Pennsylvania residents said they used only a rope and a flashlight during a wild chase to rescue a young bear whose head had been stuck in a plastic jar for at least 11 days.
Whoa.
The frightened but powerful Bruin fell into a swimming pool at least twice during the ordeal, according to a report Saturday in the Press Enterprise of Bloomsburg. But the group eventually yanked off the jar and set the animal free. Quote, I thought, no one is going to believe us, said Morgan Laskowski, 22, the bartender at the Jameson City Hotel and a member of the impromptu bear wrangling team. Area residents first spotted the 100-pound Bruin with its head in a red jar on June 3rd, but it eluded game wardens. The animal was attracted to the container because it appeared to have once contained cooking oil. Quote, he put his head in and had a problem, said Mike Tremola, 68, another rescuer.
Sounds like.
Yeah, he'd have died in a couple more days. Tribola saw the bear Thursday night as he was leaving the bar at the Jameson City Hotel. He called Jeff Hubler, a local employee of the State Game Commission, who had been among those trying to capture it for days with a lasso. The two teamed up with Laskowski and her mother, bar owner Jody Boyle, to follow the bear through the darkness. We knew where he was because you could hear him banging into things, Tribola said. They cornered the bear in a resident's backyard, where it ended up falling into a pool a couple of times. Eventually, they wrangled the animal into a position where Hubler could pull off the jar. Quote, you'd think the bear would be weak because it hadn't eaten or drunk for a week, but it was strong.
They are full of muscle.
Yeah, Hubler said people should keep lids on food jars that they throw away.
Mm.
So, sad story at the beginning, but a happy ending.
Yeah. There you go. We got time for a robot story before the this day in history. This is a fun little story about test driving vehicles. Now we're working on autonomous cars for getting us around the city, but part of the lead up to that, I think, is going to be test driving vehicles. And Ford has been one of the leaders in this, and they have a new device they use to test their trucks
called a human being.
No, called a robot that
what?
Traces a path laid out by GPS, and they can kind of, you know, through monitoring systems and stuff, they can know what's going on without having to actually put a crew of people onto a track and have them drive around and 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 around.
Skynet, any day now.
Yes. So, the robots are here to help us. So we think. And it looks like they're off to a good start on helping us with things like taking the monotony out of testing a car, because Daytona is good and all, but I'm sure that when you're not running at over 100 miles an hour, it gets a little bit less fun. So there you go. Robots helping us all have a little more fun.
Hooray. Alrighty. So Jason, you mentioned you sort of have a this day in history or something?
Yeah, it's not a huge long one or anything like that, but this day in history, the ballpoint pen was spawned.
Whoa.
75 years ago.
Whoa.
Yep.
What was it birthed from?
You don't want to know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the picture is disturbing. But yeah, who'd have thought the ballpoint pen, which is now like pretty much 3/4 the pins on the planet,
yeah.
has only been around for 75 years. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a while, but still, the photo for the story is a little bit disturbing. It has a really close-up picture of a ballpoint, of the ball for the ballpoint pen, and I swear it looks like an eye staring at me. It's kind of creeping me out here. Mm-hmm. It's like the next robot story is this ballpoint pen right here. So I'm going to post it so you guys can be creeped out too.
Nice.
Yay, sharing the creepy.
Because, you know, the people driving can't see it, so you have to kind of give them that visual.
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah.
In their brain while they're driving.
Right.
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't write right now.
What? I have to be connected to the internet in order to work.
Every 24 hours, I must check in to make sure that I am still a legalized pin. Or something like that.
Something along those lines. All right, so...
I think that rounds out the news.
That rounds up our news portion of the show. We're going to take another music break and then come back with Caleb's Corner.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, you want to tease them about...
During Microsoft's E3 presentation, seems to have been a slight faux pas that has garnered a lot of attention in the community. Let's put it that way.
Yes, so definitely you want to stick around for that. Like I said, we're going to take that music break. You know what, actually?
Hmm.
You want to tell the folks how they can participate on the show?
Gladly. If you want to comment or have something to say about what we have talked about so far, please, please hit us up on Facebook. You can do a search for Robots Attack, 2 words. We'll be right there. If you like our page, we're 1 away from becoming a real page. It's kind of awesome. Anyways, it's only if you want to. No pressure. Then, if that's not your speed, you prefer Twitter, you can find us there. We are Robots Attack Me. And finally, you can always hit us up on the old reliable email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if all that's just kind of like, whoa, too fast, couldn't write that all down, just remember robotsattack.me. That is the central location for everything we do, archive episodes, comments on the blog, and the button says interact will take you to all of the other things I have described before. We like it when you react with us. It makes the show more fun for us and for you. So there you go.
Exactly. And obviously, if you're driving, don't do any of that stuff.
Yes. Do not touch your phone while you are driving. I don't care if it's ringing. If you have to take the call, pull over.
Pull over. Just listen and do
enjoy
all those things that Caleb mentioned when you get home or wherever your destination
safe.
Is.
Yes.
Exactly.
We're by a Bluetooth already. Jeez.
There's also that.
What decade do you live in? Come on.
Hi, Luz.
People.
Born... Or some time ago, I don't even remember now.
Get on the standing around looking stupid, talking to yourself bandwagon.
Until people see the bright blue light next to your, oh, you're one of those people.
Either he's one of those or cybernetic.
Cyberman.
Yes.
Alrighty, let's take that music break. You're listening to Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Welcome back to Robots Attack. This is Caleb's Corner. We are in our new time slot on Mondays. So thanks for tuning in if you caught us. We're in my section of the show where I get to opinionate and talk about things that I think are important and or interesting. And one of the things that...
Hopefully both.
Yes, hopefully both. Ideally both. Since this is kind of our E3 show, one of the things that came up... One of my soapboxes is kind of the sort of the resurgence of feminism in the modern age. And part of that is, I think, to me, is very important to be brought up in terms of the geek culture, especially around gaming and the way we treat each other while gaming, both male and female alike. But in this case, it turned out a little weird. If you watched the entirety of Microsoft's presentation during E3, you probably heard it, but maybe you've missed it. So I have a little clip here of it. Do you have? Are we all set to go there, Joe? All right.
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
Here we go.
Hopefully this works.
Come on, you gotta practice before you get on stage in front of millions of people.
I can't even block correctly, and you're too fast.
There we go. Just let it happen. It'll be over soon.
And that was, in case you heard it, that was the line. Just let it happen. It'll be over soon. This kind of ignited a few people. Got them fired up a bit because it is a relatively common meme joke, but it's not necessarily a joke that's okay. And it was not intended to be a overall description of what was going on or how this lady up on stage was to be treated, but nevertheless it was said, and it's unfortunate that is how it went down. And it highlights that this sort of behavior has become common, has become almost accepted as a way of joking around in online gaming. And you know, it's just a reminder that we need to be aware of who you're speaking to and how we are speaking, because it's generally not a good idea to be joking about something that is emotionally and physically harmful to another human being. And I understand it was not meant as a description, like I said, of anything that was supposed to happen or that would have happened, but it's implying a lot of things that are unsavory and ill-advised. So just, reminder to people to be civil online. You don't know who you're speaking to, because they have no face without their avatar may not necessarily reflect who they are in real life. So,
and at the very least, if you're in front of like thousands of people, maybe choose your words a little wisely.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, what's weird is, I mean, think about it. A lot of that was probably scripted. So it's like, there's a good chance that was like thrown out, or someone thought, hey, we'll do these things,
Right.
It was like, that's the case. Like, why didn't they think about that when they were
writing it in the first place? Yeah. So as I was reading some post of event coverage, there was some people were saying that the lady said that part wasn't scripted. It was kind of an off the cuff. It was quite literally off the cuff. So, and that's why I don't necessarily hold anybody to like a certain amount of rancor. It's like, it's not like, burn them down, flame and pitchforks, kill it with fire. Just, be sensitive. That's all.
Actually, when I heard about this and heard that it was during a fighting segment, I was prepared for the worst. And that was not the worst. So I'll give them that. But still, not the best choice of words either.
As tasteless jokes
especially
go,
especially when you're fighting with a girl. So
Like I said, as tasteless jokes go, it was not the worst, but doesn't mean it was tasteful.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the main thing. Just be a little sensitivity is all we ask. And now I climb off my soapbox, and we can move on to more widely acceptable and palatable things.
Like music breaks.
Music breaks, or and which prepares for future gaming news, correct?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll take another music break and then come back and hit our E3 topic, since, I'm sure that's going to fill the rest of the time. We'll have plenty of things to discuss and everything, since we didn't get a chance to last week.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So there you have it. That was Caleb's Corner. Good job.
Thank you.
Climbing on the
Golf clap.
Yeah. Wonderful over the radio there. Mm. But yes, you're listening to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. Let's take that music break and then come back with the core, which is E3. Woo.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Italian Street Painting on Saturday and Sunday, June 29th and 30th on 5th Street in San Rafael. Italian Street Painting Marin brings the art of street painting alive with live local music back to the Bay Area with historic Mission San Rafael Archangel the backdrop and the streets the stage. This will be a don't miss performance. Jesus, horribly weird. Proceeds benefit Italian Street Painting Marin, a nonprofit organization dedicated to showcasing the fine art of street painting and providing grants to foster creativity. More information is available at italianstreetpaintingmarin.org.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central Talk Show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are now in the core. We're going to be discussing E3.
Yes.
All right, gentlemen. Let's get started.
All righty. Well, start lead off with Nintendo, which is kind of interesting because they didn't actually have a huge press conference at the show like Microsoft and Sony did. They went and said with a direct-to-consumers video of all of the stuff they wanted to announce, and then they had a large presence on the show floor.
Yeah, I heard a bunch of displays of the games that you can just play them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that their idea was to kind of, in some ways, go viral on the social media aspect, like get the fans who are actually into Nintendo excited about Nintendo things, telling their friends who are also excited about Nintendo things about Nintendo things. So it's like, it's sort of, you know, using the community to help assist itself, which is
not to mention way safer than like screwing up in front of a whole bunch of people. So
yeah, there's that too. But yeah, it I think it was kind of smart. They highlighted several of their first party games, which is going to be Eximon X. well, let's try this again. Pokemon
Rewind,
Pokemon X and Pokemon Y, Super Mario 3D. Super Mario 3D World, which looks like it's going to be a nice evolution of the Mario 64 style of game, but also having up to four players as an option, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that looked interesting.
And the requisite Mario Kart, now in its eighth incarnation, if you can believe that.
Oh, man.
Wii Party U, it's the only one title, is also going to be released next year along with Wii Fit U. And the one that I thought was actually most interesting was when they were doing their research for, like, you know, the Wii U has come out. They've added the little tablet controller and all the extra in the Miiverse interactivity. Like, what are people using it for? And they found that a lot of people are using the tablet as a drawing tool.
Okay.
And people have been making some pretty impressive artwork on there. You can, if you watch their direct video, you can see it. So they thought, well, let's push that a little further. And they're going to make an early release of their title, Art Academy. It's going to be a limited release, so they're going to push out a set of tools faster before the rest of the game, which will still come out later. And it's going to be pastels, pencils, and colored pencils, and regular pencils, I think. But it's a more robust set of drawing tools. I think they're going to actually involve better sensitivity and stuff like that. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I remember back in the day that Mario Paint
was
fun to do, since at the time it was like not a whole lot like it beyond, you know, paint on PC or something. Yeah. But
it was Dabbler.
Adding rudimentary animations was a nice twist on it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope they bring back the animation thing, because that was fun. Then they trotted out their third-party games, reminding us all that they are still making, that they are still very much about having a community of developers for their system. The highlights were Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, Batman Arkham Origins, and also, they also have an Arkham Origins Blackgate for 3DS, Deus Ex Human Revolution Director's Cut, Disney Infinity, which looks interesting because it's like apparently a mashing of all of the Disney worlds together, including the Pixar characters.
Yeah, and he uses like the little toy figurines that you hook to the little sensor, and then it like puts them in the game and has like story missions and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like Skylanders.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Skyland. Okay. They were definitely inspired by Skylanders. I think they probably leased the technology too. Rayman Legends, Scribble Knots Unmasked, a DC Comics adventure, is on both Wii U and 3DS. There's a game for Disney's Planes. And there's also Skylanders Swap Force for Wii U and 3DS. There's a Splinter Cell game, Blacklist. A Sonic game, Lost World, for 3DS and Wii U. Ooh. And Watch Dogs is also going to be making an appearance.
Oh, okay.
They also...
Makes sense.
Highlighted their indie dev thing with their eShop. In there is DuckTales Remastered.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one.
Yeah.
The footage of that looks really cool.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, that's kind of pretty. Ballpoint Universe looked kind of neat. And then this one struck me as sort of funny because it's like a pretty big thing, but it's in their quote-unquote indie developers,
okay,
which is the Oddworld new re-release of New and Tasty.
Oh.
And World of Keyflings is going to the Wii U.
Okay.
And then they also...
Super Jason is thrilled.
brought over... I mentioned a few kind of like, I call it retreads and new threads, although some of them are actually new games, but they're like kind of revamping some of the old titles. The retread and new thread is especially true for Wind Waker HD, The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD. I saw footage for this. In 1080p, it actually looks pretty sweet. And you're thinking, wait, a cel-shaded game, what more can they add to it? It actually, the resolution
now looks with sharpness.
It is sharper. They're actually using better shaders for the rendering, so it actually looks really nice, I think. And the textures look really cool.
Sounds like too the updated like music gestures will be easier or better with the pad
that makes
and
sense.
Stuff
the
pad like that.
And that you can use your Wiimote to make the gestures. That would be pretty cool. Another game that looked really interesting was The Wonderful 101. Which is the same team that did Beautiful Joe way back in the day.
Okay.
And it's like Beautiful Joe in that it's a very strange, over-the-top universe. But what makes this game kind of interesting is that instead of being one hero against the monsters, your hero is the populace. Like, you get people together in a team, and when you like draw different patterns on the screen... The people will form up into like sort of a Voltron kind of thing, like not a single robot, but like it's a new, bigger, more powerful thing that's either a weapon or like a grabbing arm, like that will flail the aliens around and stuff like that. It's actually kind of cool looking, and it's a game looks like it's gonna be one of the few games that will really kind of expand what the tablet game can do with the game. I think it's kind of neat.
Nice.
And then. Let's see. They had a couple more. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which was sort of them showing what they can do with taking old school 2D properties and making them 3D. Looks like fun. And Bayonetta 2 for Wii U and 3DS.
Yeah.
Or Wii U, at least. I mean, they showed a title that was under development, but they didn't for the Wii U, but they didn't say what the title of it was, or I missed it during the thing.
Okay.
I played it like two or three times trying to catch it. Somehow I never caught it, which looked really cool.
You mentioned the Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I was going to wrap it up with Smash Brothers, which was the end of the show, end of their video. It's going to be Wii U and 3DS, and they're adding everyone's favorite Blue Bomber, Mega Man, to the mix. So it looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, true.
It's Smash Brothers, but yeah, it looks like fun. Especially if you like Smash Brothers.
And who doesn't?
It'll be interesting to see how they use the Wii U tablet, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In it and everything. So, in your opinion, since out of us, I mean, you know, when I was younger, you know, all about Nintendo, like, mm-hmm. you know, I love those things, even though I eventually sort of went the Sega route, I still liked the properties of Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now, out of the three of us, you're probably more the Nintendo guy. You know, do you think this new lineup and everything will, like, does the Wii U look a little bit more appealing now? Or
it's nice to see that there's a lot of people that are still developing, like, fairly high-grade titles beyond, like, the Nintendo properties. Because, like, Nintendo's always made good Nintendo games, which sort of goes without saying, but, like, that's kind of like the Wii, in large part, continued existence because Nintendo made good games for the Nintendo Wii. I mean, there was some good third-party games also, not knocking developers that worked hard for it, but there wasn't as
here
many.
Here and there, but yeah, it was mostly the first-party stuff with pretty much kept that system going.
Whereas with the Wii U, it seems like they've made a bigger push for third-party developers, and they've made a development platform, which is more in line with other developers, like what they're doing with their other games. So it's drawing in more games from others that made appearances on other systems.
Yeah,
which, you know, may not say overly much, but it's like I think it's interesting that they're still trying interesting things. I think their primary property games are pushing the envelope of what the system can do more than the third party games, but honestly, the third party games are developing for PS3, for PlayStation, and Xbox also.
Yeah.
So they're kind of hampered by not having that Wii U tablet as their primary controller. So
it seems like they've definitely, you know, decided, okay, we're not really going to try to compete with Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
Right. Yeah.
This is what we're doing.
It's a similar philosophy to what they did with the Wii, where it's like, we're doing it different. We're not a spec power horse. We're focusing in a different direction in our gaming. So it'll be interesting to see how it falls out. I hope that the third party support continues to grow, and maybe some of them try a more unique approach to their games for the Wii U.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see. I mean, since it sounds like developers are still going to be doing stuff for 360 and PS3 for at least a few years down the road. So
that is one of the things that came out of the other two big announcements, was that their existing platforms are going to be continuing for a while longer.
Which makes sense. I mean, it has this huge base of customers. Right. Yeah. Why just suddenly stop? Like,
and like the game catalogs have been developed for the past, what, 6-7 years?
Yeah.
So.
All right. So.
So that was Nintendo.
That was Nintendo.
If you go to their website, they have links. They have tons and tons of videos of demos and trailers for the games that have been mentioned here. So, if you want to know more, if you're intrigued, that's where you'll find most of the information.
Yeah, because it would take way too long to link all that stuff on our page. Like,
Just
go to...
Just Google Nintendo.
Yeah.
It'll be the first thing there. Almost guaranteed.
E3.
Other than them trying to sell you a Wii U. It'll be right after them trying to sell you a Wii U.
And a 3DS.
Right. Yeah. After a Wii U and 3DS.
If you search for E3 2013 and Nintendo, you'll go right there.
You'll get right to the
meat.
That's too many syllables, though.
Well, okay, Super Jason, bring us to something that isn't too many syllables.
Well, okay.
I'm not as well studied
on all of this. I'll disclaim right at the beginning. I didn't have as much time to throw at it as other people did, but I did. probably spend a little bit more time concentrating on the Xbox One. There were a few properties that I thought really attracted me a lot. And part of it goes back to me mentioning a couple weeks back that I'm a huge Mirror's Edge fan. To see them, to see Insomniac Games, of all people, pick up kind of a Mirror's Edge vibe and throw in a kind of neat comedy twist, mm-hmm. and a really sleek gameplay aesthetic. I'm really interested to get my hands on what is it? Sunset Overdrive.
Mm-hmm. I'll be curious to see some gameplay, like what, yeah, right, how it plays, like, you know.
But yeah, it looks like it's their classic thing. They already have a very cool mood to it right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing the explosions actually spell out the explosion sounds.
Yeah.
That's way cool in my view. and yeah, so that's one of the first big ones for me.
It definitely has a style. I can see, like, if you're not into the style that it's presented, it might not seem terribly interesting to you until, right, you get, you know, maybe some actual gameplay footage. But yeah, you get really right off the bat, like, okay, this
is supposed to be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like, whoa, it's a game that's supposed to be fun.
Well, and to me, it kind of proved a concept that I was kind of afraid for. Mm-hmm. As they push farther and farther towards these consoles that can do insanely high graphics, I was thinking that there'd be more of a push for ultra realism and whatnot. And that was kind of scary for me, because I like the cartoony stuff as things to switch it up. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love having, like, a perfectly rendered M16 in my hands also.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, it's really fun to switch it up and have kind of that old school vibe.
Yeah.
And it's nice seeing that they're figuring out how to do it and keep that cartoony style, but still take every single advantage of the new tech at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised, because, I mean, heck, Pixar and all of the other movie companies have been doing the same thing for, like, the last 5-10 years. But but still, it's nice to see that they're putting the effort into going the extra mile on that.
Yeah.
So, but I'll let you jump in with another, or a PSA. Okay.
Yeah, but before we get to kind of our next little talking point, I mentioned, are you interested in free radio time? KSU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. Email traffic@ksu.org with information on services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization, like maybe even on our show.
Yeah.
That's how I got the San Jose Animal Advocates on here. So
right,
you can have your organization read on our show or all the other shows on KSCU.
Right. Mm-hmm. You can be classy like them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you're on the air because you care.
Exactly.
We don't say that enough.
No.
We don't.
No.
Yeah, and unfortunately none of the PSAs that we read
say that
have
anymore.
That in there. Yeah. I mean, well, that we... Our show,
yeah, okay,
like,
yeah.
Because there's certain ones that you have to read at a certain time, and they'll have those in there, you know. But
gotcha.
We don't have.
It's
so.
Time for us to start stealing other people's PSAs. Just start swapping them around, confuse the heck out of people.
Well, speaking, I like that. Speaking of confusion,
yes,
I think we should, before we get into some more games,
yes,
I think we should clarify some things with the Xbox One.
Okay, good, because I'm really confused, because there's a lot of people saying a lot of things.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there. Now, okay.
A lot of hay is being made about this.
Yeah, so let me preface this first, just so it's out there. I've had, like, the 360, got it at launch.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I've had some great memories with it, so... If you want to call me a Microsoft fanboy, that's fine, I guess. I don't care. But I've associated my 360 with good times, and I've liked the games that have been on it, the direction, for the most part, that Microsoft has gone with it. So just bearing that in mind, just, you know, so people know. You know. I think there's a lot of misconception with the Xbox One. Now, there are certain things I don't know for sure, because partly I definitely believe this is Microsoft's fault for not doing a good enough job clarifying things.
Oh, yes.
They really should take, because I've watched a few interviews with Major Nelson or Larry Herb on Xbox. He's done a really good job of explaining things. They need to like get him, sit him down and do like 15-minute YouTube clips or something explaining each of these things, and I think they would be set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to mention something about that.
Oh, sure.
Why do they pick the people that they do for being the face for all of this stuff? I have never understood that because they always pick people that are absolutely horrible at selling, no matter what company it is. And Microsoft is, this time around, has been particularly atrocious at that. I don't know where. I'm sure he's a bigwig. I'm sure he has a lot of really important letters next to his name or whatnot.
Like CEO.
Right. But I don't care. If he can't sell the system, he should not be up there.
Yeah. But the only CEO that I can think of off the top of my head that sells a product well was Steve Jobs.
Right.
And very few people are that skilled at selling things.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, I forget his name, but like sort of the main guy at the Sony press conference, he's not too bad.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He just kind of keeps it simple, like here's a this, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's like some of these guys, they do a really a bad job like up in front of everyone presentation. But like if they kind of sit down in an interview, sometimes they're a little better, but
never have the person who's good at corporate meetings. Never have that person talking to legions of followers. Never.
Yeah.
It's a bad idea. It's a completely different audience, and they will turn on you.
Yeah.
The Xbox fans have.
So, okay, that's hit one that I think for the most part has been clarified.
Mm-hmm.
The new Kinect. A lot of people were suddenly like, oh no, this is Big Brother. It's going to be always on watching me.
Right.
That's wrong. You can turn it off. You don't have to use it. Mm-hmm. You can adjust the settings on it. It's just, you can have it on so it just recognizes Xbox on. Like, it's not going to record your every move. There isn't someone in a basement like, haha, I'm tapping in.
It's not directly attached to the NSA.
Yeah. So I think for the most part, that was finally clarified.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just wanted to get that out of the way.
But still, the fear is out there at this point, which is scary to me.
Yeah.
I'm scared of the fear.
Fear. Come on, people.
The fear is more frightening than the thing itself, I think.
Yeah.
Right. How do the people who are so afraid of this, how do they live with a cell phone that has a camera on it?
Yeah, I think that's been brought
Google
up
Glass,
a lot. Like, well, your phone has a camera on it, your laptop most likely has a camera on it, your PC, all that stuff. But
camera has a camera on it.
Exactly.
And if you're paranoid about the Kinect watching you, you need to burn your cell phone. Why? Because that is so much more, that reveals so much more about you than that camera ever will.
Exactly.
Right.
Ever.
Okay, so I think the next big one, especially since Sony did kind of a low blow, I think, in a sort of roundabout way, but they did their whole thing about like, this is how we handle like trading games with people
for now.
Yeah, exactly. but see, here's the thing. Okay. I don't know about you, but for me, now I'm only going with this as far as I can tell. This is how it works.
Mm-hmm.
This could change.
Right.
If it does, I'll be pissed. But so far they've said you have 10 people in your quote-unquote family that you can share your entire game library with. So, I could put Jason and Caleb in my family, which I'm will do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm normally the guy out of us that like buys most of the video games when they come out.
Right.
You know, a lot of single player and multiplayer ones. I don't know.
I'm a renter.
Yeah. We'll get to that part. But I don't know about you, but like, you guys should be way more excited than I am about that. Like, I think that is so awesome that you will have access to my entire game library. Like, okay, Sony, I can take the disc, give it to Super Jason. Right. Hey, that's great. He can play it. Guess what? On Xbox One, Caleb and Jason and eight other people don't have to borrow my... I don't have to go to their house, right. give them this, meet them. Mm-hmm. They can access my entire game library anywhere in the world.
Without ruining the disc.
Yeah, yes. without ruining the disc.
How many times have you taken a disc somewhere and then brought it back and thought, did they send it through the shredder? What the heck happened to this thing?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's actually something I wanted to mention too, because mm-hmm. I think it's back to having the corporate bigwigs running these things that bugs me, because I've seen other interviews or read some other interviews mm-hmm. about the sort of sidelines Xbox developers talking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they are much better at handling the overall idea of this. And one of them simply said, yeah, if you were a really huge fan of scratching up your discs and having to replace them for no good reason, hey, more power to you.
Yeah,
we weren't really a fan of that. And me, as a person who has had to replace two Call of Duty games, I'm not a fan of that either.
Yeah.
They're not cheap. I'd rather just buy it once.
Exactly.
And there's no like warranty for a disc that is scratched in your box. There's nothing to do about that other than buy a new disc.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And then the argument is thrown out like, well, okay, like, will they be able to, you know, if they're playing my mm-hmm. game, you know, one of my games, so, you know, say Caleb's playing, you know, Tomb Raider or something, and I want to play Tomb Raider. There's been some conflicting things I've seen where I've seen some stuff that said one other person and you can be playing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've heard some other stuff where that hasn't exactly been confirmed. But here's the thing. If you did it the old-fashioned way, which is what I'm going to refer to it now,
right.
if I gave my Tomb Raider to Caleb, I couldn't play it anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
So, it's just one person.
Yeah.
Where's the loss?
Yeah. So,
at worst, you hit me with a party invite. Hey, I want to play Tomb Raider. Oh, okay. Let me save.
Yeah. Oh,
there you
okay.
go.
I'll just play, you know, one of your other 25 games or something
that
I now have access to.
And that's the other thing that's kind of confusing me too, because worst comes to worst, you still have the option of going to somebody's house and having your account loaded up and playing the games there and having them have access to your games that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I can sort of see where people are like, what? You're closing down the used game market. There's now a fee attached to your used game market. It's like, that's on the developer's side.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Xbox doesn't have anything to do with that, and that's been a huge push from the developer's side for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can trade in your games.
Yeah,
right.
I know there's a bunch of stuff about like, oh, you can't trade in your games. Like, no, you can. It's
right.
Just...
And here's the thing. You'll be able to trade them for much higher value than you could before, too, because you're not running it through the big dishwasher of money called GameStop. I mean...
it's like you can still trade it in to GameStop,
mm-hmm.
and you can trade it in digitally. Like, there's mm-hmm. just so many more options
right
now. And
well, and furthermore, like, you can just outright give it to someone.
Yeah.
And the deal is done. There's nothing more to be said about it.
That is an interesting thing, though, that you can only give it to somebody once, which is different, but still,
okay,
I mean, that is...
There has to be some sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
And there has to be some sort of restriction to it, so you can't just, like, keep handing it off and off. I mean...
Right.
Yeah, but it's the same as handing someone their disc. It's like, here is Gunslinger. Here is a copy of Juarez. I don't have a disc to hand you because it's a digital copy. Here you go.
Right.
Now it's not on my Xbox. Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and the other big thing that people are making a lot of hay about is the whole internet heartbeat, always connected thing.
Yes.
And I can see how that one is slightly more of a thornier issue, but
yeah, it's like, okay, so you can play your game for 24 hours
mm-hmm.
before you have to recheck online, which apparently you can, if you can't do it from your home, like, you can do
hook
it with
your cell
phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has a Bluetooth connection in there or something like that. So you can hook your phone up temporarily, like, send out a pulse. Oh, I'm online. Okay. You're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a lot of things that, like, if your internet is out, like, you like it kind of, it's not, it doesn't become worthless, but it's like it, there's a lot of things that
you couldn't do it, anyways.
Yeah, you couldn't do anymore. And right. I think if your internet is out for that amount of time, I think you have a bigger issue you need to focus on, like
right. yeah.
figuring and, out why and
your internet's especially, out, or you're and here, dealing with the fire in your area.
And here's the thing too, it especially for Microsoft, which has been bred as an online company for yeah. two generations of systems now.
It's, going back to the original, practically.
Yeah. Right. It's just, it seems really weird that people are up in arms about it at this point when so much of the stuff that is defined Microsoft has been multiplayer online stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So right, to yeah. be complaining about that when obviously you were online before.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because...
I
suspect that it kind of dumbfounds me.
Yeah. To me, it's what I'm seeing is people saying, hearing in 24 hours, your game, you'll only be able to play your game for 1 hour. And they are flying into a panic because they think that they're going to reach into their house and take their disc away from them. It's not literally, but it's that sort of like slightly irrational knee-jerk reaction. And it's just not that true.
Yeah. It's I spaced on what else I was going to mention. I was going to mention another point along those lines, but I forgot. I know.
Well, okay. Well, what a lot of people aren't concentrating on is what that heartbeat enables. And that's completely changing how these games function into making a game into a living, breathing thing online,
mm-hmm.
which I really, okay, I understand all the fervor that PlayStation users especially, and people who are just scared.
I remember it now. Go ahead.
I understand them wanting to be able to have access to their stuff all the time, but they're also not thinking about how a game can evolve at all.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that's the thing. We've been doing DLC for quite a while, and mm-hmm. we're used to these chunks of evolution in the games.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody actually spent some time watching any of the game discussion or, well, the promos for the different games that Xbox is putting on their system,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them are turning them into basically an interactive television show that changes and keeps going and going and going.
Yeah.
And that's so much more of an interesting evolution in gaming to me than it just being the same old disc, there's the same game as you always had mm-hmm. type of thing. It makes it much more interesting to me. It's something actually new.
Yeah. And I know in a few of the interviews, like with Major Nelson and stuff, mm-hmm. he said what they're betting on,
mm-hmm.
digital, the future, like using the cloud, all that stuff. That's what they're trying to shoot for. If you don't like that direction, don't get the Xbox One. I mean, it is kind of a harsh thing to say, but that's what they're betting on. They're betting on that being the future. And I think that's definitely the direction to go.
Yeah. I mean, even if you're not positive, it's like, if you don't like what they're doing, just don't do it. Don't follow them.
Because they're trying to do both. Like, they're trying to have still mm-hmm. a physical copy of discs for people right. who right, like that method.
And they're still saying that having a physical copy and going to a store and grabbing one, it's still really excellent from one standpoint, is that it's a really good jump start for jumping straight into a game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, it'll install faster, I think they say
exactly.
on it. But yeah, it is a little weird. It's like they're from a lot of like gaming podcasts I listen to and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them complain about like, oh man, I want to go to day one downloads digital. Like I like the way Steam does it, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Microsoft is kind of going in that direction. It's not exactly Steam.
But it's almost there.
But then they turn around and start complaining like, oh, man, it's...
right.
Like, that's what they're... kind of going for? I don't. It totally confused me. But the thing that I forgot. Yeah, that I remembered was going back to the internet thing. Like you know, checking in. Every, you know, once every 24 hours, really quickly, and stuff like that. Right. It's like if your internet goes out, that's not really Microsoft's fault.
Yeah,
like that's your internet service provider. That's like, I posted this once before, but I know this won't happen. But I sort of have this hope that like the Xbox One will be, albeit a very small stepping stone, but I hope a stone at least in the step towards better like internet infrastructure in the United States.
Yes. Yeah.
Cause that's kind of seems like what it takes when it starts affecting people's like, hobbies or like entertainment or quick and easy things, streaming and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of when people
rise up
and get involved. Exactly. So
you're
I'm
affecting
hoping,
my ability to play this game.
Yes. I'm hoping this. That like, oh man, my area doesn't have the greatest internet. Hey, why don't I push my representatives to go for this? Like, I'm going to try and vote for people. I mean, I know this is a huge pipe dream, but I don't know. I'm trying to look like for a benefit. Maybe this will help get things going because, I mean, that's the future, people. I mean, you know, we definitely need a better internet infrastructure. But yeah. But anyway, that was the thing that popped in my head. But
And I think another thing that needs to be considered when looking at an always on or the online component of a system, be it PSN or live, is that these systems, this networking stuff brings us a lot of other benefits besides, and and Xbox has really been pushing what live can do.
Yeah.
I mean, they're making any Xbox Gold account a family account. That means anybody on the Xbox now has a Gold account for the price of one Gold account, where it used to be a family pack where you paid for four accounts.
Yeah.
This is not a bad deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds like they still have some more stuff maybe to talk about that as the release comes, you know, gets closer.
Right.
Like, I'm, you know, curious what they'll do with... Because definitely, like... On like right now on the PS3, I mean, since at the moment it doesn't it doesn't cost any money to do the online stuff,
right?
Even though they sneaked that in their presentation, they didn't mention it. They just had it on the screen. That was so funny. I was like, I'd heard about it before, and when I saw it on there, and like the guy, they didn't even bring it up, but it was up there in the very last line. Like, if you want to play multiplayer, I mean, didn't say this exactly, but. All multiplayer now is going to cost, you have to have PlayStation Plus.
Right. Yeah.
Which is a very awesome service, mind you. But anyway, but yeah. I'll be curious to see what, if they, if Microsoft makes certain apps or certain things like, I mean, now since they are changing it to a family thing, like, you know, what sort of things you'll still be able to access, you know,
I'm sure
without
controls
a Gold or this or that. But I mean,
but it reduces the number of the argument. Well, I don't want Gold because I don't play online, or I don't want Gold because of this. Like, if you get Gold, everybody in your house, you don't have to like, oh, I don't have my significant other's sign in. I can't watch Netflix anymore. Well, no, now you anyone in within the realm within hearing distance of the Xbox can now watch and do whatever they want to on Gold that was normally inaccessible. I mean, it's. I think that the that is also getting a short shrift amongst all of the fervor about the used game market.
Okay. Well, should we? We've been doing a lot of Xbox love.
True.
Should we swap it up to some of our impressions of the PlayStation 4?
Sure. We've done our Xbox. We'll talk a little PS4.
Because I have some comparisons later that I also want to level that I personally think are interesting, but who knows? Maybe nobody else does.
I'm curious to find out what they are, at the very least. So, what's the first thing that stood out to you in the PS4 announcements?
Oddly enough, it seemed like most of the presentation was basically, we're not Xbox. So other than that, I don't have a whole lot of things that stood out to me. So what are some of the things that stood out to you?
Now, to be fair, some of the stuff was also mentioned by the team at Xbox, but I think the one thing that I will definitely say about the PlayStation announcement is that their messaging was much clearer.
Mm-hmm.
It was much better to find what they were trying to say at this event.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't mean that what they're saying was any better than, I don't think that their offering is necessarily any better, just I think their messaging was clearer. And yeah. I think one of the things that they were very clear about was their indie game focus, which I thought was kind of cool. The biggest thing in there that I think is neat is the self-publishing. You don't need to be a part of another network or be, you know, funded by, picked up by some other major conglomerate to produce a game for PlayStation Network. You can publish through the system, sort of like e-publishing, self-publishing for books. That's been happening for the past, you know, 8 or 10 years or so.
Okay.
Now, like I said, I'm sure there's a similar offering under Xbox. I'm just not a developer myself, so I don't know what that's like.
And actually, what I'd point out as far as that goes is that the Penny Arcade games have actually published through Xbox's indie side.
Okay.
And they're kind of popular big games at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of interesting having a PlayStation push that side of things when there always has been the indie presence on the Xbox.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing, too, is it seems like the PlayStation has been pushing their indie side when, in my view, sometimes calling things indie is a little bit of a misnomer when you're the people picking up the tab for the indie thing.
Mm-hmm.
So both consoles have done this with the current generation of stuff. I mean, we talked a little bit about Bastion a couple weeks back. That had a decent chunk of funding from Xbox, which gave it loyalty to Xbox for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And games like The Unfinished Swan and like Journey on the PlayStation side, excellent, excellent games, but I don't know if you really call them indie anymore when they were funded by Sony.
Right.
I don't know. To me, it's just semantics, but it's still kind of an interesting thing to chew on.
True.
All right. Before we get to some questions from a listener,
sure.
I got to read a PSA for you. San Jose Animal Advocates, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook. All right, so we had a caller in, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, caller.
We had a couple questions. Definitely, if you do want to pose some questions to us or participate on the show, for right now, we prefer our Facebook page, Robots Attack, or the Twitter.
Robots Attack Me.
Or even the email.
RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com.
But maybe down the road, if we get some more viewer feedback and stuff, we'll try to get in the call line. Because I think that would definitely be awesome, especially for discussions such as this.
Definitely.
But our listener posed some interesting questions.
Sure.
The first one was, what happens when a studio goes out of business, which has been happening lately in the gaming? And, you know, if they have their games on the online servers and whatnot.
Right.
What's going to happen to your game? Like, if they go out of business, will it be gone from the servers? Will you be able to play? The part of that was posed that if you have a physical disc version of it, then you can still
have the
play
game.
It.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, as far as I can tell, since Microsoft actually has had the infrastructure that you pay for with the Xbox Live membership and the Gold membership that's still going on into the future, all of that stuff is handled by Microsoft servers instead of the actual publisher. So I don't think it's going to cause much problem. The one thing that it would cause is that if it was one of the games that I was mentioning that keeps on evolving over time, obviously the evolution is going to stop.
True.
I don't see any problems other than that. But I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, and that is something to consider. Is like, you know, if the game has a dedicated server, what happens to it? And I think you are onto something with the Live Gold paying for most of, you know, Xbox's server structure,
right. Which again is effectively what PlayStation is doing now too.
So yeah, there's definitely that. It's one of those things that there's not any clear messaging about that from anybody yet.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing that that's sort of unclear. Although PlayStation made it kind of like, yes, we will have discs for all of our games. So that's kind of their backup for that. But I don't know. If it connects to an online server, it still has to find something out there.
I mean, a good test right now would be the game Too Human. The company was sued out of existence, and it was actually demanded to have all of its copies burned.
Yeah.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I missed that one.
If you check on Microsoft, on an Xbox right now, check with Xbox Live, see if there's any presence of that game on there right now, you probably have your answer right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very true, very true. And then the next question was dealing with, like, hopefully I'm not wording this horribly, I apologize, listener, but dealt with, like, the net neutrality stuff and everything, but, like, bandwidths right. from ISPs, they, you know, want you to watch Netflix or movies or stuff like that, just, you know, if they're going to put caps on certain things, or I'm probably wording this horribly, but I think that's kind of where he's getting at, like, what's going to happen, since that is an issue that's been brought up. You know, if now all of a sudden, since Xbox One's going to demand possibly a lot more, is that going to affect things? You know,
that's true. And I've actually kind of run into that just in my own household. I have roommates. I end up having issues from time to time with everybody being on Netflix or some similar service all at once. And it will crash things out pretty regular. But the other side of it, too, is that things have improved so dramatically from since I first ended up grabbing Netflix and trying to do all the streaming stuff. You couldn't do anything along with that. And now I'm only really having problems when three people are doing it at a time. So
yeah.
I'm not going to pretend like it isn't a problem, but things are improving really fast, too. So I'm still actually really...
And there's a lot of people that are throwing a lot of money at fixing these problems.
Right.
Yeah, hopefully. Maybe it'll be like I mentioned about the stepping stone of improving things. Maybe this will help. I don't know. But again, definitely a good question. A great question, actually, both. And we definitely appreciate participating. I mean, that's what makes
excellent.
It awesome about the show. It's like, hey, someone's actually listening.
And and net neutrality is a definite issue that you need to consider when voting for your next Congress critter or person of reputation that is involved with internet decisions, because
or selecting your provider.
And selecting your provider, yeah. There's and you know, Google and a lot of other people are pushing on these folks to make things better with Google laying down fiber and turning it on in select cities and stuff like that. So there is hope. We just gotta
Definitely won't be solved overnight, but
no.
But yeah, and I just want to quickly throw out, since, you know, I mentioned a lot of Xbox stuff you know, before, and I'm definitely like, I want to get a PS4 also. I mean, the fact that it's $100 cheaper is really awesome.
Yeah.
I'm hopefully it didn't come off as like, I love, you know, Xbox and hate PlayStation. No, I'm a gamer. I love video games. If I can play them on anything, if I had money, I would buy everything. So I could play it on everything. I just kind of felt in a weird, odd way, like, not that I felt bad for Microsoft. I just kind of felt like the Xbox One was getting a lot of hate when
undeserved hate.
Well, yeah, there's certain things, but you know, we got to wrap it up. Yeah. So I'm you know, but I want to thank you for listening. Please tune in next Monday from 6 to 8. We're here. We didn't actually get a chance to hit too many of the games at E3. Maybe we'll bring those up a little more next week.
Sounds good.
Since we got kind of
like to talk about this more.
Yeah, since we got the kind of hardware stuff for the most part out of the way, but we'll
services
hit the games
stuff,
that way.
Yeah.
Cause there
Plus,
were...
it's become normal for us to do an E3 like two-parter. Anyway,
yeah, yeah.
Because
there were definitely some awesome games on both.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That I'm like, yes, I want so bad. Yeah. So yeah, we'll hit that next week. Thanks for listening, Caleb. Quickly tell them how they can participate on the show whenever, wherever, and all that jazz.
That's right. Except for on your mobile phone while driving. Please don't do that.
Exactly. Unless you're riding shotgun or in the back.
That's true.
As long as you're not driving.
Yeah. If you're not driving, then, you know, whatever. If you want to interact with us, please find us on Facebook. We are Robots Attack. Do a search for us. It's two words. When we have one more like, we can actually get a better URL for that. And you can find us on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me. And last but not least is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if all of that just kind of like, wait, can't write that down fast enough, just remember robotsattack.me. That is our website. You can find archive episodes of our shows. You can find our show notes from previous show and comment on us there, or use the interact button to find links to the aforementioned Twitter, Facebook, etc. So please interact with us. We like it when you do. Thank you, caller,
yes,
for calling in and for
awesome throwing out some very good questions.
Mm-hmm.
That
appreciate that.
We for sure don't have the exact answers to, but hey, yep, it's always fun to.
I'm checking the two human thing right now, so I'm gonna try and post a thing on that later.
Nice.
Cool.
All right. Well, this has been Robots Attack. And that was our sort of impromptu signing off message. But yeah, thanks again
that
for listening.
That was my phone crashing, so it might be a little bit later.
Oh no, your phone crashed. You can't do anything with it now. Anyway, this has been Robots Attack. Again, we're here every Monday now for the summer hours from 6 to 8 p.m. Thanks for listening. Have a good one, everybody.
Raccoon, Baradin, Misto.